What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Industrial AT with Brady Course. Brady is just discussing before we started that he's working out in Vancouver, Washington, in Portland, Oregon, and some places there with some several different companies. He works for Action On Site. He's been in the profession as an athletic trainer for 15 years, but their clients include Frito-Lays and Pepsi, a bread company, which he just told me the name of, and then also one of the ones for the city of Portland, right, Brady?
City of Vancouver and then our surrounding county municipalities, so two municipalities with those two, yep.
All right, so city of Vancouver. And then one of the things when we did a little test call was he was talking about how he goes and watches them cut down trees and instructs them on the best ways to take care of their body while doing that. So very interesting job, and we're going to hear more about that. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. I got all my students here with me today to start the show. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/industrialAT. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/industrialAT. All right, Sean Reedy is joining me, and we're going to get started right here. All right, so Brady, why don't you tell me your athletic training story? Where did you get started, and then how did you get to where you are?
Yeah, sure. So I went to school for athletic training up. I'm from Vancouver, Washington, so West Coast. But I went to college, the SUNY State University of New York at Brockport, so SUNY Brockport, and did my athletic training education there. And then I liked New York; it was great, but it wasn't Washington. So I came back home. And I've kind of just been here ever since in the Vancouver area, Portland area, as an athletic trainer. So that was 2002, graduated, came back out here, and done quite a variety of stuff. I had an awesome internship with the Trailblazers when I first got started. And from there into a clinic and outreach program for 12 years at a local high school. And in fact, it's a school I went to, the high school I went to, so that was cool to go back there. And just did that for quite a long time. Thought that's what I would be at, you know, for my whole athletic training career. I was just staying at high school level, which I really enjoyed that, and working in the clinic, which is a great fit. Things changed a couple years after being there. I think 10 years at the clinic. They had some changes and made some cuts, and athletic training was one of them that they cut. So kind of freelanced for myself for a little bit with athletic training at a high school. And then started up a sports medicine program 3 years ago at a school, and reached out from there. But that's kind of as I was freelancing, kind of doing some stuff on my own. That's when I found the career in the industrial side. So I just started about 2 hours a week. I just saw an ad on Craigslist, and just 2 hours a week is all I did. And then it just built up from there. So it's been a great fit for me. I really like what I'm doing here. But that's kind of how it's been going for 15 years.
So an ad on Craigslist got you from the high school to the industry.
Yeah. Well, I should say, I saw the ad on Craigslist and it just looked interesting, something to do. Like I said, I was just trying to fill some time and, try to find the next best thing, you know, to keep money coming in. And it was a really good job. They paid, when I started out, I was just a contractor. So I had a really good, you know, just contractor rate. They were just kind of filling in the time, and it's just expanded since then. I really liked the industrial side once I started going in it. And I'd say that as I was doing the teaching, started that sports medicine program up, that was only about a 0.4 as a teacher with athletic training on the side. And then that program grew, but also the industrial side grew too, to where they were able to take me on full time in the industrial side. So I kind of jumped ship from high school, and this has been a good fit because great hours, great pay, and it was the right move.
So was the Craigslist ad hit, like, was that for an athletic trainer, or was that for just somebody kind of working to work with people in that setting?
No, so the ad was for an athletic trainer / OT / PT, PTA. So they were, as Action On Site, we hire all three clinicians or professions, from ATs to PTs, and all about. So, yeah.
So was this job posted anywhere else besides Craigslist?
No, it wasn't. And we've had postings since then, and I'd say it's primarily been Craigslist or just word of mouth. Or we find people, neighboring clinics or places we've worked. We'll contact people through there.
Well, I would have never looked on Craigslist for a job as an athletic trainer. I mean, I do side tournaments and stuff like that, but that's because somebody I know told me about it, or, you know, something like that, or Bob Marley sent out an email saying, hey, they need an athletic trainer here. But, man, that's so strange.
Yep.
I want to check Craigslist now down here in Texas, see what's on there.
You never know. So I was surprised. It worked out good for me.
All right, so we got you working to the industry. You said you started part-time and then that kind of moved into full-time. So tell me a little bit more about the transition. Was there any sort of courses you had to take, anything you needed to do specifically, maybe even learning the insurance provider numbers and things like that to transition to the industry?
Yeah, so the way we do it with Action On Site is we're all about, the preventative care and basically with working with corporations like we do, we do first aid only. And so we're not necessarily treating anybody here. We're just doing first aid care. And I kind of, I didn't need any specific training. Once I got into it, there's a lot of things that, like a desk assessment. I never, did too many desk assessments as an athletic trainer in high school. But that's something that I had to work into getting familiar with, and just some, research that I would do online, or research I would do through just some office ergonomics, websites. TheBackSchool.net, they got some good resources on there that I did a lot through. Since then, I've been certified as a ergonomic assessment specialist, level 2 with them. But it's just kind of learn as you go. You'll kind of get thrown into situations, like, for instance, Frito-Lay was the first client. And you go from watching, sports to going to watching people in a manufacturing plant. All you're really watching is, it's completely different, completely different. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, especially only covering 2 hours at a time, in a week. It takes a long time to kind of get familiar with what you're watching for. There's a learning curve. There's a learning curve, but that's pretty much how I learned, is on the job.
So in general, it's just like movement assessment. And I mean, kind of what we do in everyday athletic training, but we're obviously assessing somebody on a football field or in a squat form or in a movement form in the weight room. You're doing the same thing with somebody trying to work in their profession.
Yep, exactly. And that's what I tell them. I mean, we go, in a given, even today, I'll see 3 different clients in today. And that, goes from, the Pepsi clientele to, I'm at the city of Vancouver right now. And then I'll finish up at working with some engineers at the county. And that's how I basically talk to them. As I say, I don't know how to do your job, but I know how the body works. And I could tell with you reaching up overhead, 70 times a day to reach for some boxes, or the way you are, honestly even handling the shovel, how you're scooping out of the back of the truck. From what I know about the body, this is going to cause some aches and pains, and let's try to work a different way of doing this. So it all comes down to, I just watch how the body works and, make my recommendations from there.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and tell me some of your most memorable moments as an athletic trainer in the industrial setting.
Yep. So that was definitely when I started at Frito-Lay working there. I had an employee come to me with an ankle sprain. So she's kind of stepped off one of the platforms, rolled her ankle. And before me, they've had some physical therapists there and a physical therapy assistant at Frito-Lay. So they weren't as proficient with taping. But this lady came to me with the sprained ankle, rolled her ankle. And I basically just taped her up, gave her a pat on the back and sent her back out there to the work floor. And she was kind of shocked. I think she thought with an ankle and kind of like, I should probably take a couple weeks off, and let this thing rest and heal. And I was like, no, I taped you up. You're good to go. I mean, you can finish your shift at least. And then, come back and check with me. So the surprise look on her face was like, oh, I was kind of trying to get out of work. That was a take I got from her. But I was like, nope, I'll get back out there. So there's chips that need to be packaged.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this story. All right, I don't imagine you walking through Frito-Lay with your kid. So kind of describe the setting or the scene for me.
Yep. So there's the warehouse. We have an office. I got an office here at the City of Vancouver that we do our assessments in. And so we spend maybe 25% of our time in office, whereas about 75% of the time we're out in the field or warehouse working with the people. And so in that situation, she'd been out on the floor as a packer for Frito and rolled her ankle. And she came to our office as I was there when I first checked in. We did the assessment and reached out to her. But we spend a lot of our time out on the floor working with the people, trying to, again, be proactive and preventative, seeing what they're doing before it happens, rather than catching them afterwards, being reactive.
All right. So I kind of cut you off. You're kind of tell me some more about your memorable stories as an industrial athletic training.
Yeah. The other one was, again, working with the city. And, when I'm working with these guys, I've got the vest on, the hat on, the hard hat, glasses. I look like one of them because I'm out on the street with them. So it was in the middle of summer. And again, fairly new with these guys. And they were paving a street. And one of the guys at the end, they caught him at a break and just kind of, asked what was going on. He's like, my shoulder's hurt. And so I'm over here, we're on the side of this busy road, and I'm just kind of looking at his shoulder, palpating his shoulder, checking around, and really just kind of, getting in there, rubbing on his shoulder. And I kind of see this, I guess, uncomfortableness on his part. And then you kind of look around your surroundings, and I'm like, I'm on the middle of the street rubbing on this guy's shoulder. We should probably take this back to the office and kind of get a better assessment to where you feel more comfortable and I actually feel more comfortable, rather than, just two guys rubbing on a shoulder in the middle of an intersection kind of thing. So that was one of those things that, I tell these guys that, we'll talk out in the field, but we bring things back into the office so that they're more comfortable disclosing, information to me and go from there. But that was a good experience on that one.
I gotcha. All right. So, go ahead, Sean.
So how does, when you're out and you're on the, I guess your daily duties and stuff, and what you do as you're going out and you're talking to these guys and you're watching them work and you're doing your assessments on them, do you do your assessment right there? And do you be like, I guess, step in and say, hey, we should do this like this, or we should change your back curvature, or we should, drive your knee out or something like that? Or do you make note and then take it back like to a supervisor or someone like that and put that in there for them, and then that note then goes to their group or to that individual or something like that?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the situation. Sometimes when I'm working with the city guys on the street, it's busy, and the last thing they want to hear is how to do something different when they're just trying to get the job, get out of traffic, and get back safely. And so we do a lot of assessment out there where we're just kind of watching, taking notes, do a lot of video. And then we'll bring it back to the office, and if we can catch them, that day, kind of say, "Hey, here's what I saw you guys doing. Can you try it this way next time, or can we go out into the yard right now and do the same thing, and just kind of simulate what that was like, and if there's a different way to do things." So there's other times where we might be working with some of the merchandisers with another company, Pepsi, and we can correct them right there because they're not as rushed, they're not in traffic, obviously, and kind of say, let's do that same thing, do it this way with your back straight or with your wrist straight, and see if you're just as efficient. And so it goes both ways. It just depends on where we catch them, a safety issue, or if we can talk to them right there. But we do take that opportunity to make it a learning experience that we kind of combine the task of that specific job, and then we'll do a group training later on, so everybody's kind of aware on the same page.
When you talk to somebody about one of those, like let's say that you need to strengthen something, or you potentially, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable situation because of a weakness, glute weakness, back weakness, something like that. Will that be something that you then write them a program for, or write them exercises for?
Yeah, we'll do something like that. We call it our proactive wellness. Again, kind of staying within OSHA compliance. We treat everything just kind of saying, this is a good program for you in general. So not specifying just your shoulder or not specifying just your back, but just saying, here's a good program for you to follow that's going to help your overall wellness. But we do a lot with, core activation. Most of the places have a good weight room facility or the guys would work out. And so I can kind of give them some tips about what they could do on their own. And then show them here in the office too. We'll do some screenings, movement types, to do the assessments and let them see where they're weak at, and say, here's why we're concerned with this.
I worked with a bunch of park district and city park district guys at one time, and I can only imagine them. This wasn't as an athletic trainer. This was actually working in the park district, but I can only imagine them trying to do an FMS test or a functional movement test. So
yeah, that would be a challenge. Yeah, you catch these guys, you know, they've been doing this for 30 plus years sometimes, and to tell them, you know, that their squat could be better, they're like, are you kidding me? You know, this, I've been squatting forever and I can't squat any other way because my back hurts, my knees hurt. So, you know, that's kind of one of the challenges too, is you know, the age group of some of the guys that we work with. You know, the older guys are kind of like, at times they're stuck in their ways, but at times they're also, they see what we do and what we've been able to help them out with. And they're like, man, I wish you would have been here 20 years ago, you know. Or you get the younger group to where they still kind of think they're invincible and they don't really need any extra help, you know. And then, you know, culture, you know, that's just the way it's always been. So it is hard to try to change some of the culture around here and just get more of a safety aspect to it. But yes, it can, there's some good interactions that we have. We'll say that.
All right. So continue on that same thing. You have these guys that have been working in the industry for 20 years, shoveling dirt, right? And you're there looking at them saying, hey man, if you bend down this certain way, I think it'll help you. Well, how do you go about training them when you said you only see them for about 2 hours a week, right?
Some places we're here longer, like for the city, I'm here, we're here 10 hours a week. So we do get a little bit more exposure to them. But if I were to approach someone and see how they're moving and, you know, there's some concerns, first thing I'd just ask them, hey, do you have any aches and pains, you know, that you're dealing with? And they might say no, but it's always, that's what's kind of cool is that, you know, the more you kind of spend time with these guys and kind of build that relationship, you know, it always starts out as a no, or if they're in a group, it's always a no. But if you can kind of get these guys on their own, you know, single one-on-one, it's kind of, you know, my shoulder does hurt. I said, you know, I could tell because you're doing this, you know, and then we'll replicate that and see if there's a different way to do it to where it doesn't hurt, you know, or kind of feels different. And, you know, we always tell them, you know, fatigue is the number one sign of an overuse injury that's going to happen in this area, in this field. You know, once you start feeling fatigue in your shoulder, you start feeling fatigue in your wrist. That's a sign, the early signs of an overuse injury, you know, and we make them aware of that by doing that.
I would imagine that that's probably a lot of what you see is that overuse stuff, correct? Not so much an acute injury.
Right. Yeah. The overuse is, you know, we always see the overuse stuff in, you know, maybe a high school or collegiate setting, you know, just overuse because of training. But when you see the overuse that, you know, that these guys have, you know, the bread place, that I cover, they make, you know, good breads and just the fancy stuff kind of, and they'll go, a batch of bread is 400 loaves. And so they're grabbing 400 loaves, kind of grabbing off this belt, turning their hand, putting it in a pan, 400 loaves in one batch. And they'll do 3 to 5 batches before they even rotate a position. So 400 in one batch. And they'll do that anywhere from 2 to 5 batches before that rotates shifts. And it's just that, it's a hand movement the whole time. Or it's reaching up overhead, you know, or pulling pans. So the repetition is, it's one of those things that it takes a while to get used to watch what they're doing, to see where the, you know, where we can help them if we can. You know, there's not much we can do with the bread manufacturer because it's just it's handmade, you know. So we just teach them awareness, say, hey, are you aware that your wrist is doing this? Are you aware that you're leaning forward with your neck or shoulders, trying to help correct them? And then we've done a good job with that bread place. That they used to go from every 5 batches to rotate, which is an hour. Every 5 batches in an hour, to every 3, you know, to every 2. So they, at least they're rotating more often. They're still getting 800 repetitions of this one bread, you know, with their hand, but at least they're rotating through more than, you know, 20,000 repetitions before they rotate.
And is that rotating down to the next job or to the next movement or to the next whatever they're doing?
Okay. Yeah, and there's usually 5 stations on that, what they call it, the divider line. There's 5 stations, and each one's got its own little, you know, challenge for sure on what they have to do. Yeah, it's very interesting.
All right, so talk about some of the other unique challenges, maybe at Pepsi, at Frito-Lay. I know you said reaching overhead to get boxes and those kind of things, but talk about some of the other unique things that you've seen as an industrial athletic trainer.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the cool things too about doing this is you do see these, you know, you take a lot of these for granted. Like I said, the guys here at the city, how they work, you know, to do streets or storm, you know, they clean up the stormwater drains, you know, and they're lifting manhole covers, you know, 70 manhole covers a day. So we can help, you know, find out different ways to lift a manhole cover. You know, they're always pulling up to do these manhole covers, but there's a lot of them out there. You can kind of check them online that you're actually pushing down. It's more of a cantilever type system that, you know, decreases the force on the shoulders and on the hands. And so, you know, seeing what they do, that's completely different than what you've ever seen, and trying to find different ways to, you know, maybe engineer it differently. We work with some engineers at times to help with that aspect. A lot of times, just different technique. You know, Pepsi's another one where, you know, their merchandisers, they work early in the morning. I started with them at 4 o'clock this morning and let them through, you know, stretching program and then a quick training. But they're doing repetitions of tasks for heavy products. I mean, the beverage industry is very taxing on the body. You talk to a lot of the drivers, they've got the aches and pains that they're dealing with low back and shoulder problems just from pulling that amount of weight. Working in tight, confined spaces of a back room at a Safeway or Fred Meyer's. So, you know, a lot of times we'll go into these situations and say, hey, here's the best, you know, the ideal technique is this. And they're like, yeah, but I'm stuck between two pallets and I've got to lift, you know, this case of water up here and put it up top. You know, how am I going to do that? And so we're saying, okay, you can't move your feet like we'd hope you could or should. But how can we, you know, teach you how to activate, you know, kind of like core strength. So you're at least staying tight, you know, through your core as you're lifting rather than moving your feet, you know. So each place definitely has their own challenges. Pepsi, you know, like I said, Pepsi's that was it's a challenge. The bread place, repetition. That's the uniqueness of each one. Everything's different.
All right, so tell me about, you talked about some of the guys that are been on the line for years and years and they're not really wanting to change. But in general, are you seen as part of the team, as a team member, as the guy that is not letting me go home like that Frito-Lay girl? You know, so kind of like the enemy there. In general, how do you feel like you're perceived?
Yeah, when we first started the company, they automatically link us in with the what they call the EHS team, the Environmental Health Services team, or the risk management. And we're we let them know that we're completely different, not completely different, but we're not them. You know, we go to a work site and they think they need to make sure they have all their safety stuff on. And I tell them, I said, I have no idea what you're supposed to be wearing for safety. I'm going to put on what I see you guys have on. But once we, again, build that relationship with them, and they understand that, you know, we're just here to watch how the body works, guard down, and they understand what we're there for. I would say, repeat that question again. It was a great question. I kind of got off track on that.
I was just saying, have they perceived you as a helpful team member or as like the enemy that won't allow them to, you know, get workers' comp?
Yeah. No, and so they perceive us, you know, at first they're not sure what to think about us, but we've done several things. I always tell them we're kind of like the buffer between, you know, should I go to the doctor or can we work on this here with, you know, basic first aid, you know, ice, heat, stretching, you know, some kind of a strengthening program. And so I, you know, we see both work-related and non-work-related injuries. And so I think that really helps in that, you know, if someone keeps coming through my door, that they're not tagged as just a work-related injury guy. You know, it could be something they hurt themselves playing soccer outside. And so some places will, you know, their perception of us changes pretty quick. You know, when you have good results, things change right away. Everybody's like, okay, this guy's a good guy. He helped me out. You know, we've got a lot of wins here at the city that we've helped people with, you know, elbow tendonitis or shoulder problems or back problems. And that, you know, when you get just one win like that, that spreads fast. And hey, you know, Brady, you know, he really helped us out. Like I was having trouble for this for 2 months. He showed me some stretches. We did this, we did that. Go. And that really builds, again, good rapport with the guys and makes it really easy to interact from there. Other times we're just there, you know, to specific incident was just give them information, you know, that the first step doesn't have to be going to the doctor. You know, let's talk this out. Let's see what your options are. And just being someone that they could talk to, you know, and if it comes down to it, like I feel like that's something you should see the doctor for, then, you know, we'll let the manager know that this person should go see the doctor. Like this is definitely, you know, valid to go see them. But I think without us here, their first inclination is just, well, I got to go see the doctor. You know, my wrist hurts. I got to go see the doctor. And let's think about this. I mean, is it fractured? No. And what'd you do to happen? Well, I don't know what happened. It's just, you know, over time. Okay. So let's treat it with this, you know, give me 2 or 3 days just to treat it with some, you know, some ice. And I'll show you the, you know, the flexibility routine to do with that. And, you know, we'll go from there. And then they come back 2 to 3 days later, like it's better, you know? So we kind of save them time from going to the doctor, when it's not needed, but we definitely send them when they do.
All right. So you mentioned a couple times that you do basic first aid, but You also said you were evaluating a guy's shoulder there on the side of the street. So explain to me a little bit more, what do you mean by basic first aid? Because in that treatment plan you just mentioned, it was ice. You said ice and here, let me show you some stretches. So do you actually do evaluations, you know, like I would do an ACL evaluation and that kind of stuff? So talk to me more about that process.
Yeah, so for the OSHA guidelines, and when you get, that's one of the learning curves is understanding OSHA's guidelines to what they consider as first aid and what they consider is, you know, a work-related injury or a recordable injury. And so, you know, in our documentation, you know, we don't mention anything about pain. We have to say discomfort, you know, and all these little things, you know, it's not a wrist, it's a wrist support. So it's a non-rigid wrist support. So all that stuff is classified as first aid. And that's all we do. We just stay within first aid, even though we are, you know, athletic trainers, physical therapists. We could go beyond that. Physiotherapy, we could do joint mobilizations. We could do, you know, other things. If it has to be treated with that, then it's beyond what we can do here in our office. So that's what we consider first aid. Again, that's, you know, if you look at OSHA's information on that, it is ice, it's massage, it's, we do a lot of that, you know, heat and flexibility programs. So, and I say flexibility programs because if we're saying stretching, then that's an indicator that we're kind of focusing, you know, on one specific body part, which could mean that there's more of an injury than, you know, it's an OSHA sensitive word, is to say stretching or to say pain.
So there's no treating with like you said, joint mobilizations, manual therapies, anything like that, all of that. Now, with you being through a clinic, correct, with your position. Nope. Now, do you or no?
Nope. So I'm an employee of Action On Site, and so we're, like I said, we're an on-site injury prevention program. It's one of those things that, you know, when you see what we do, you know, we do a lot of massage therapists. We let them know that in when we first see somebody, because we could see somebody, you know, in the office and do some massage and that really helps. And then they think, hey, I'm just going to get a massage from, you know, Brady every day at work and I'll just be able to stay at work, you know, I'll be able to keep working. We really set the standard at first that, you know, hey, we'll see you for 2 to 3 visits. And if we're not making progress, then you need to go see somebody. But if we can work, with them to control their aches and pains with just a few visits, then we stay with that mode of, you know, again, first aid and not necessarily treatment. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. And so then you're not, it's not like you're trying to refer to your physician or one, they go to, you just recommend, hey, I think you should see somebody, potentially an orthopedic, potentially whatever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, we do, you know, I'm full-time with Action, but we have a physical therapist that she just covers, you know, 4 hours a week, and she does work in a clinic, you know? And so it's one of those things that, you know, she doesn't refer herself to them, but the employees at that facility know that she's a physical therapist and they just feel comfortable with her. They say, well, can I go to where you work? And, you know, they do. And so she, you know, she's able to follow that through. You know, we follow all the same HIPAA guidelines. You know, if it's a non-work related injury, you know, we don't disclose how it happened to their employer. If it's work related, we do. Same thing, you know, like I said, if she was to see somebody in the clinic, you know, for something different, it's not reported back to the work that they're being seen for that. But like I said, we're all, you know, the clinicians that we are, we utilize our assessment skills because that's what sets us apart. Like I said, we're not just massage therapists. We're not, you know, a personal trainer, which is, you know, doing a wellness program within clinics or within a facility, which is somewhat popular too, you know, to have a massage therapist or a physical therapist or a personal trainer. We use our skills as clinicians to go beyond that, but yet we still work with them on the first aid side. So we're almost more overqualified than what we need to be to work here, but it benefits the employees. So
absolutely.
So we'll go about, you know, our whole thing is when we take over a, you know, a new client, work with them, that, you know, our goal is to reduce their MSD or their muscular skeletal disorders by 50%, you know, as we walk into a clinic or walk into a facility. And so that's our goal. We kind of monitor that with our data. And for the most part, it rings true that, you know, 50% of the injuries they see anyways are muscular skeletal. And so if we can reduce that, you know, it saves the companies a ton of money. You know, and it pays for itself. I mean, you save a couple big going further with just basic first aid. It's a big savings.
So saying that, what do you see in regard to, I guess, general illness? Do you see anything with that? Do you take care of any of that when somebody is, you know, rolls into work and is starting to get sick, or, you know, hey, yeah, you know what, I don't think you should be here, or yeah, you should probably go and see your physician, something like that.
We will see, again, people do start to feel comfortable with us and they understand our background, our knowledge. And so we'll get, you know, some sickness. They'll come in here and say, I mean, I'm not feeling very good, or you're just feeling very lethargic. And we can kind of say, hey, here's what you should do. Here's what I think's going on. Other times, like I said, they'll come in with a non-work related injury. And, you know, we feel like if you were to keep working, it's your back. You know, say it's your back. If you were to keep working, I feel like work's going to make this worse. And I said, not that we want, you to get injured, especially at work, because it's not good for the employer, not good for you. But I said, in your best interest, like, you should probably take a couple personal days off just so you can let this recover and then come back to work. Because, you know, whether you're on here at work or you keep going at home without rest and without this basic first aid, you're going to get worse. You know, so we always let them know that we're here for their best interest by doing that and treating them the way we do.
I recently talked with Dina Kilpatrick. She works for the San Antonio Fire Department, and she said she cannot send them or, like, medically disqualify them for duty that day. Are you in a position to where you're also just making recommendations?
Yeah, so just making recommendations, exactly. You know, we'll report to their manager what we feel is going on. If there's ways to maintain their job without any modifications, we're able to keep that, you know, as a non-recordable type injury, which means it, you know, it doesn't be reported to risk management. So yeah, it's one of those things. You know, we can see somebody, and you know, if we can strongly recommend that they, you know, don't do this today or don't do this different this task, whatever client we're working with. And for the most part, they can comply with that. You know, the managers can kind of move to a different position that they're capable of doing for some rest. But we couldn't just say, hey, you can't be at work today. That's always their call, or that's even always their call to go to the doctor. Even if we highly recommend it, we can't say, hey, you have to go to the doctor. You know, it's just like we recommend. So
I got you. All right, let's go back to return on investment. You said, you know, if you can reduce those musculoskeletal disorders by 50%, then you save the employer a ton of money. Have you looked at the data that you guys have been able to save the money, or, you know, I know the NATA put out, it's somewhere between $7 and $3 ROI per dollar spent, you know, and so have you looked at yours?
Yeah. So, I had the numbers exactly on one of our clients. But it, you know, if you have a recordable injury, and that's somewhat foreign to, you know, our athletic training talk is, you know, a recordable injury, but you know, any one of those can be anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 just for, you know, basic, you know, splinting your wrist, you know, going to physical therapy for a little bit and then kind of doing the work hard to get them back. And so what we're able to do is, again, kind of work with them in-house, give them a soft support, and then help, you know, go out and, you know, Pepsi, you know, see them in the clinic, but then go right out with them into the field, you know, in the market, and kind of help coach them, say, hey, here's why this happened, is because you kept, you know, flipping the 2-liter bottles like this, you know, so keep that wrist neutral and, you know, you should get better. So when you see something like that, yeah, our one or two visits, you know, definitely quantifies, you know, what would have been $3,000, $5,000, expense for the company. So, one of our other ones is, you know, speaking of return on investments, I mean, pay over $500,000 in, injury claims in 2013. And so since they started working with us the following year, it went down to, I think, 235, and then 70, the 70,000, and then even the, I think we're still about 70,000 right now. So anyway, so from $500,000 to $70,000 now that they're spending, and not to mention what we call time loss too. So you could be injured and still work, and that's one thing. But if you're injured and you take time off of work, then there's almost, exponentially increases. And so we're able to keep the injured people at work because we can work with them versus having them just go home and, you know, hope to recover in 2 weeks. So we see a lot of that for our return on investments. And again, we could see that within the first year, within the first even couple of months, that, hey, we consider that a save. You know, you probably just saved yourself, you know, $16,000. So we work with risk management. You know, risk management has those numbers of what a wrist would normally cost, or what a shoulder would normally cost, or what a back injury would normally cost. And when we can, you know, at the end of the year, kind of say, hey, we had 13 backs that we saw, 12 shoulders, this and that and that, and only two of them went, you know, had to go see the doctor. They see, well, that could have been $300,000, but now it's only, you know, $8,000. So the numbers game is was something we had to learn a lot about.
Right.
But it's definitely how we show our value. Definitely.
That's crazy to be able to show that, like, you've right there saved that company $430,000. I mean, that's insane. I mean, and that just shows you where, or to me, shows where your worth has now just continued to gain, and you've actually gained worth in your profession working with that company, and they will be able to see that.
We actually had one where we were in a meeting discussing our program, and we had an employee come into, you know, kind of pop in the meeting and mention her knee was sore, and we did an assessment right there on the spot, and, you know, gave her an ice pack, and you know, just basically said, hey, this is how our program works, and the lady ended up being fine. Where she was coming into the office to get you know, the paperwork in to go to the doctor to see the same thing. And so right there, you know, it's kind of like we just saved them, you know, pretty much everything that we were, you know, asking for the contract itself, in that one visit right there. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it seems like that'd be a huge selling point if you had that company to basically, I guess, cooperate. Is that then, if you had them to justify your evidence of saving $430,000 over the course of, would you say, 3 years? It went from 500 to 70.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I don't want to be too personal, but I don't think you're making over $100,000 right there. So, I mean, you know, they got to be doing something with that money. So, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I said, the numbers game on this is pretty impressive to see what companies do have to pay. You know, I think what our cost, we're definitely comparable. You know, we can compete with a lot of companies. You know, it doesn't take much to show that return on investment, you know, within one or two saves.
And especially when you're doing that with multiple companies and you're saving multiple companies $400,000 and $500,000. That's huge. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what is, you mentioned one thing about like K taping or kinesio taping, as well as then taping like the lady's ankle or taping a wrist, a soft wrist wrap or something like that. What does your athletic training kit for work look like? Or what do you keep with you? So the major things that you would utilize.
Yeah. So I've got in my kit, and I do have a kit that I take with me on the job sites. You know, it's got my tape, pre-wrap, athletic tape, wrist supports, elbow straps, and then a lot of BioFreeze. So everybody likes the BioFreeze around here. It's one of those that it does make them feel better, and a lot of times gets them through the workday before we can, you know, get them into the office and get that quick assessment on them. But that's kind of the two things that I carry the most with me is the, you know, the tape, BioFreeze. Yeah, that's it. Those three things. Pretty simple. We don't do anything really, but even with first aid type thing with cuts. Most of the trucks that we're dealing with, they have a first aid kit with them, so they deal with all on their own, or they're wearing gloves, they don't get cut anyways, but just tape for the most part, supports.
All right, so as we're discussing, you know, the broader definition of first aid, where you're not technically doing first aid, what we consider first aid, but you're doing first aid for insurance reasons, do you feel that this job has limited your ability as an athletic trainer because you're not allowed to do certain things by law?
Yeah, in a way it does. You know, like I feel like we could do so much more. But we spend maybe 10, 15 minutes with the person too. So it's not like we get 45 minutes with this employee because they're honestly just on their lunch break or they're on their 15-minute break, and so they come and see us. So we don't get much time. But I would say, like I said, I think we're overqualified for what we do, but it benefits the employee, it benefits the, you know, employer. But looking back at it, like it's made me a better athletic trainer. You know, I can't really describe exactly how, but we've hired a couple younger athletic trainers I've hired them simply because I know it's going to make them a better athletic trainer. You know, how much more I've been able to do with, you know, just soft tissue work that I didn't in the high schools. You know, even though it's only 15 minutes, but all in all, it's made me a better athletic trainer, I think, by doing this job.
I gotcha. All right. So if someone wants to do this job, what have been some of the major benefits for you as in transitioning to industrial? Why would someone choose to do this job?
You know, for me, I've always been a family guy. I've got three kids and a wife, and the industrial side for me, I mean, it was a great fit for me. I loved what I was doing in high school, but we all know it's the hours that really gets to us. So this industrial side for me, it's been awesome hours. You know, today I work from 4 a.m. till 10:30. You know, I'm done today at 10 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning. So I got great hours. I work about 30 hours total at different clients, you know, with different clients, 30 hours a week with 10 hours, you know, that includes travel time and just some small documentation or training I'm creating. And so for me, for anybody that, you know, that's looking for just something different, like I still feel like I'm utilizing my skills as an athletic trainer. I'm utilizing my knowledge that I've gathered through all the years, still getting better. Even, you know, it's just been a all in all positive. I would have never saw this coming, you know, years down the road. That I'd be on this side. You know, I always loved the sports side, but this has been a great fit for me. So
would you recommend this type of job for an entry level athletic trainer?
We have had some guys that are fairly new, but I would definitely say you have to be a little bit more comfortable, because we're approaching people, you know, that aren't athletes wanting to get better. Sometimes these people are, you know, they don't want to get better. You know, they don't want you to tell them that this is going to be okay. And that, you know, you can keep working. So it takes a little bit, you know, a thick skin at times to get through this. And I think that maybe that may be a weakness for some, you know, new athletic trainers. And then just understand ins and outs of what we can do here versus what we can do at the high school. You know, you might get out of college and think we can do all this stuff, but we're again, somewhat limited on what we got. So I would say you'd have to have, you know, a couple years. I think our youngest AT has probably been an AT for 3 years before we hired him on. One other guy had his master's, and he's, you know, he's fairly fresh, but really good experience with his master's program. So
I gotcha. And if someone wants to do that job, besides looking on Craigslist, where would you recommend someone looking or reaching out to?
You know, I have seen them on, you know, some of the job boards for the industrial stuff. There's you know, I had a job since I've been in here, but I know that I have seen them on the job boards through NATA, and then, like I said, Craigslist worked for me. So I think this is a typical setting that you might see it we're used to, because it is a different setting, and it might be someone different looking to hire this. You know, it might be more of a PT clinic, or it might be more of a it's just not your traditional setting. So Craigslist worked for me, but I'm not exactly sure. So I got about 1% battery left too, so I don't want to get dropped from 70 to 1 pretty quick.
Yeah, video streaming will do that. All right, so then I'll go ahead and let you tell me, how can somebody contact you if they want to get a hold of you or find out more? Well, he may be gone. All right, well, he included it in the show notes. So Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, at actiononsite.com. That's his email, Brady at actiononsite.com. And there's at Brady ATC on Twitter. So at @BRADY_ATC on Twitter, if you want to get a hold of Brady and find out some more about his job, how he's doing that. Maybe you want to take a look at the business, the proposal that Dina did for the fire department, and then put together some information for him. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I think it's Google trying to keep him alive, and his phone is trying to die. But
Google's trying to bring him back, it sounds like.
Yeah. So, but that's okay. So if you want to get a hold of Brady, again, it's Brady at actiononsite.com, or at @Brady_ATC on Twitter. And then you can just pick his brain, ask him some more questions. He was real quick to respond each time I've emailed him and asked him to be on the podcast. So feel free to reach out to him and ask for help. Sean, parting thoughts?
Oh, I think we got him back.
I did make it back. I found a plug real quick. So,
all right. Well, I just told everybody your contact information that you included, your email and your Twitter handle. So,
Brady, before, real quick, I do have another question, if it's all right, Jeremy.
Sure.
Because, like, I see this in a lot of athletic trainers, and a lot of athletic trainers do this. I see the Advocare shirt. Is that something that you do? Is that something you work with? Because I'm interested in that, just because I like the other things that athletic trainers get out and do, because, you know, bring a little bit more profit in, bring a little bit more money in, or just something that they might be interested in that they do as a side job besides PRN work and things like that?
Yeah, it's I've been with working with AdvoCare for 9 years now, and it was exactly that same thing. You know, actually, what got me into it was, working on the high school side. You know, kids are always asking me questions like, "Oh, should I take this? Should I take that?" And you know, before I didn't really know what to say, you know, because I'm like, you know, well, I've had some experience with this protein or you know, whatever you might be taking, but there's a lot of risk out there to recommending supplements to high school kids or even the college kids that I've worked with as well. But I saw a lot of credibility when I looked at the AdvoCare. There's a lot of athletic trainers on the sports medicine and scientific medical advisory board, strength coaches for them, Dr. Kramer. And I think we've all read Dr. Kramer's information from University of Connecticut. You know, he's one of the top scientists on the board. And so I kind of saw these people and I'm like, well, they're definitely smarter than what I am. So I kind of believe what they're saying and you see what goes into what they do. It's been a great resource for us, you know, income wise as well. But credibility is one of those things that, you know, I kind of jumped on board because I knew that I could recommend that to the parents, the kids that I was working with, or even to the college kids that I was working with, because, you know, there's some truth to what they're putting out on the market. And I definitely believe in that. So, but yeah, like I said, it's been an additional stream, you know, of income, so where you're not having to work all the tournaments. You know, that's with this job itself. You know, I don't have to work tournaments as much anymore. I get paid very well. And then, you know, with that, it's just kind of a side bonus for sure.
I think that that's pretty cool. I know that there's a lot of athletic trainers that are doing that, strength coaches, coaches in general. I know a lot of people that are actually in AdvoCare, mm-hmm. but they that's kind of what they talk about. And I think that's a good area that a lot of athletic trainers do try and get into eventually, and just a different option of, you know, what you do on the side, because we're all so many of us are all go getters and get out there, and when we're not doing something, we feel like we're not doing anything. So, you know what I mean? But cool. Yep.
Appreciate that.
All right, Brady, parting thoughts, final words.
No, I'm glad, you know, I appreciate being on the podcast. This is fun. And it's always, like I said, with this being a little bit different industry, I think this is an industry that's going to be growing a lot. I know our company, we gather about, you know, 3 new clients, you know, nationwide, a year. And we're always looking for, you know, I'm always personally, you know, I like our athletic trainers. I think we're a great fit for this. Not that PTs aren't good, and, you know, some of the PTAs we have aren't good either. But I'm just athletic trainers. I think we're the best, because we have that preventative side. We have that, you know, out on the field knowledge and experience of a quick evaluation right there on the spot. So yeah, if anybody's interested in doing anything like this, you know, feel free to pass on your information to me, and we'll, you know, if we have something open, we'll contact you right away. If not, we'll definitely keep it on file. But we got some really good, you know, clients in the work. We're hoping to gather up and sign on, and that's it. So I do appreciate being on the call.
Yep, and again, that's Brady at actiononsite.com, or you can check out actiononsite.com if you want to look at more about the information there, and then email him. I don't know if he gets any sort of commission for you signing up, but we might as well give it a shot, right?
There you go.
All right, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/industrialAT. We're talking with Brady Course, working for Action On Site, working with Pepsi, Frito-Lay, the city of Vancouver, and then a bread company. If it was Hawaiian sweet rolls, me and you would be friends quick, because I love Hawaiian sweet rolls.
They do that. They do like the cinnamon toast, cinnamon swirl bread and blueberry bread and apple strudel stuff. So yeah, it's a great smelling place.
All right. When I make it up to Washington there, I'll have to hit you up and we'll go visit. Do a walkthrough. Okay. A walkthrough.
Yeah.
All right. sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/industrialAT. For Jeremy, Sean Reedy, Brady Course, that is a wrap. Thanks, guys.